This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The financial trial of the century begins in Ireland today. From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. In the U.S., there's a persistent criticism that no high-level Wall Street executives went to jail for their role in the 2008 financial collapse. That may not, in the end, be the case in Ireland. The former chairman and CEO of Anglo-Irish Bank, Sean Fitzpatrick, and two deputies go on trial today in Dublin for allegedly trying to pump up the bank's share price. The trial is described as one of the most complex in Ireland's history. There is intense public interest there because the Irish government's fateful decision to bail out banks like Anglo-Irish 5 years ago essentially bankrupted the country. The BBC's Dermot Fleming joins us from Dublin. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Remind us of what these executives are accused of.
They were executives in the now defunct Anglo-Irish Bank. Anglo-Irish Bank was a bank which started from quite small origins and then grew to be the standard bearer, if you like, of Ireland's economic boom, which was linked to property. So what the executives who today are in court are accused of doing is organising a share buying scheme involving 16 of the bank's richest clients. The idea was that the bank would lend these people money, which they would then go and buy shares with. It would give the effect of the shares remaining buoyant or, you know, propping them up. So basically, this was completely illegal if it happened. And that's what the three men are accused of today.
And we should remember that this trial is playing out against the backdrop of the Irish government's bailout of the Irish banking system is what caused the collapse of the Irish economy.
Absolutely, which is why there is huge interest in this trial today. It's the first trial in relation to the events that led to Ireland's economic crash in 2008, 2009 onwards. Anglo-Irish Bank was in trouble, so the Irish government took a decision to underwrite all the liabilities of the banks without actually really knowing what they were. And this was a catastrophic decision that exposed the Irish public to the private debts of the banks. It later unraveled that the debts were to the tune of 35 billion euro. Off the top of my head, that's something in the region of $47 billion. So this is, you know, massive sums of money were involved, which all stemmed from the collapse within Anglo-Irish Bank.
So trial starts today. It could be, what, a several-month affair?
Yes, it's expected to run until the end of May, and the whole nation is watching, really, because it is the first criminal proceedings in relation to the collapse, which has cost everybody in this country dear, because with the collapse of the economy, there was an international bailout. The country was forced to undergo severe austerity, which has meant that people are now paying extra additional taxes. So it's a constant difficulty that many people experience.
The BBC's Dermot Fleming in Dublin. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 stock index in London is up 0.25%. After an awful 2 days, the Nikkei in Tokyo actually went up for a change, a rise of 1.25%. After the Dow went up 0.5% yesterday, stock index futures in the U.S. are down this morning. California lawmakers are putting together a $644 million package to fund public works projects, ultimately designed to help get water to parched California residents, businesses, and farms. It is the worst drought in decades in California, with rainfalls in some places 7% of normal over the last year. Rain has also been hard to come by in Texas. There's a man in Dripping Springs, Texas, with an unorthodox proposal to address the record water shortage that has gripped much of his state. Collecting rainwater is the idea. He installed false systems for his neighbors in the hill country west of Austin and sells bottled cloud juice, he calls it, to cafes and hotels in the city. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Dan Weissman has the story.
Drive west on 290, about 20 miles from Austin, and turn directly into Richard Heineken's driveway. Sign overhead greets you. Tank Town, World Headquarters, Rainwater Stuff. Two barns have 20,000 square feet of rooftop that rain can run off of. Water from their gutters
goes overhead like an aqueduct
to 17 above-ground tanks. They hold 250,000 gallons, and they're full up, even though Heineken bottles about 37,000 gallons a year. That's not enough to keep up with the rainfall, even in a drought.
It rained 11 inches on Halloween. We had over 100,000 gallons went out on the highway out there.
But Heineken says it's not just the quantity of rainwater that makes it compelling. It's the quality.
I didn't realize rainwater was so good until I drilled a well.
That was in the early 1990s when he moved to the Texas Hill Country. At first, well water, hard, salty, was the only option.
Took a bath in it. I smelled like rotten eggs. Almost threw up in the shower. You try and go to the shower to get clean.
His clothes stood up by themselves. His coffee tasted awful. So he decided to give rainwater a try. Heineken's a trained blacksmith and a tinkerer, so he did the work himself, installing the gutters, the aqueducts, and the first tanks. He liked the result, but he didn't think of it as a line of work. That came to him.
My neighbor comes over and says, "What's the deal with your dishes? They're so clear." I said, "I know, because before they were scaled up and foggy and looked like hell." And he came over, just noticed. He said, "I have to have that too."
That neighbor told others, and a business was born. The cost, around $15,000, is comparable to having a well dug.
People ask me, "Well, when was this damn thing going to pay me back?" I said, "First shower."
He says he does about 30 home systems a year, and he doesn't want more customers.
We weed them out. If we do their system, they become a Tank Town citizen. And then they're one of our people, and we got to take care of them. Some of these, just don't want to take care of everybody.
In Dripping Springs, Texas, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And McDonald's customers in Argentina are getting desperate. Quartz has a piece about a ketchup shortage there. The hypothesis is the ketchup stuck in customs. May we suggest, in the interim, a few splashes of vinegar? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.